Chapter 6 The Raft. Udo felt the floor shake through his feet. It was the only hint that anything had happened. He certainly felt nothing through the cushions of that couch. He braced himself, waiting for the compartment to slew or dip in some way, but nothing happened.
Is something wrong?
He asked.
Wrong? How do you mean?
We're not moving.
Oh, yes, we are.
He looked at Geffen, uncertain if the man was toying with him. Expressionless and unblinking, face unreadable. Udo shook his head and looked all about the cabin. He thought there should have been something he could examine or touch to observe their progress. Even the Recht had been equipped with such instruments. He thought of the tube her captain had used to sight their course. For a moment, he thought about his old friend, the captain, Pavel. He'd covered himself in all manner of charm and ward, most of which dangled from a leather strap hung crosswise over his chest. Little bags of rocks, hallowed dirt, feathers, jangling bits of metal, rat skulls, bird skulls. He'd been so proud of his vessel and the crew that kept her, and the ravens that adorned her.
Fuck her and shit her, Udo whispered.
I beg your pardon?
Udo looked at his friend again. The memory had brought a sudden urge, something which to Udo seemed preposterous. Even so, he could not ignore it.
What is the name of this vessel, Geffen?
The name?
Yeah, your raft here. What's it called?
Charon.
Well, that's the name of the being who controls it, right? I mean the craft itself.
I don't take your meaning, Udo. Charon is the vessel. There is no separation.
That doesn't make any sense. The captain isn't the ship. The captain guides the ship. He cares for it. When he leaves the ship, all you're left with is a huge jumble of wood.
This craft is not made of wood.
But you know what I mean.
There is a captain and a ship.
Maybe a crew as well if the ship is large enough. One doesn't step onto a ship and say, "Ho, ship, take me the fuck over there," right?
Udo, I understand what you're saying, and I'm saying it does not apply here. This is not actually a ship, not in the way you presume.
Fine, but it can't simply be Charon. I've met Charon. He has a face and everything.
Why is it so important that the raft have a name?
Udo thought again of the captain. In his mind, he saw a bleached rook skull brushed reverently with whiskered lips. He saw a knife plunging into a giant's arm, the blade bending, and blood running out to inky waters.
Never mind, he muttered. I guess it doesn't matter here. Instead, tell me how you know we're moving. I don't feel a goddamn thing, as a certain lady once told me.
Would you like to see?
See what?
Geffen said something Udo did not understand, and a light shone overhead. He looked up and saw that the ceiling had disappeared. The source of the light was somewhere outside of their vessel, positioned upon the roof as far as he could tell. The beams it cast were straight and unnatural, as if a magician had held a rule aloft and declared that all should be dark to one side of the line, and to the other, brightness. The only time he'd seen such light before had been along the passage between Erda and Talom, and he found himself mesmerized. He stood, reached toward it, and grunted when his knuckles glanced from an invisible barrier.
The roof has not actually disappeared. It is only transparent, Geffen advised.
Udo glanced at him, then looked up through the roof again. He placed his hand against the surface and probed out to the edges. It felt to him like warm glass, though of a manner he'd never encountered. Not a single pit or blemish.
Geffen, I need you to do me a favor.
Oh?
I need you to swear not to fuck with me.
I beg your pardon?
The way you used to. Do you remember? Half the time you'd say a thing and I couldn't tell if you were being honest or just fucking with me for a laugh. And I guess that sort of thing is plenty funny when you're in a place that makes sense. but this place doesn't make any sense at all. Back in my old village, if you held a stone in your hand and asked me to guess what would happen if you threw it, I'd say it arced through the air for a bit before hitting the ground. In this place, who knows? Maybe it turns into a fucking fish and flies away on insect wings.
I understand, Geffen said. Be assured, Udo. I have only been honest with you since we met.
All right.
Geffen gestured at the roof, a flip of the hand, as if he indicated something as simple as a loaf of bread.
But you wanted to see if we are moving. Well, look there. Can you see?
Udo looked up again. The light of their craft shone whitely all around, which did little good. To all sides, he could see that beyond its influence, only absolute darkness was found. Directly overhead, he saw what appeared to be a flat ceiling, gray, featureless, and stretching out forever.
Are we still in the cave? Udo wondered aloud.
The cave?
It's all darkness out there, apart from the ceiling. I don't like that ceiling. It's not natural. If there's anything I know about rock, it's that it doesn't like to be straight. Not unless you beat the shit out of it with a lot of tools.
Geffen rose to stand beside him. They looked up through the ceiling together.
What you're looking at is the other side of the world.
The other side? The outside. That makes no sense. The world is round. That is a flat surface.
He jabbed his finger upward. Geffen smiled.
No, it's round. You are just too close to see it. We've only traveled some 40 rutin away. We've not even desynchronized yet.
Desync.
You will see.
And so he did. Geffen had since returned to his couch while Udo stood rooted, looking always upward, his gaping mouth long forgotten. He realized the ceiling above the raft was moving, nearly imperceptible at first, but then with mounting speed. There were imperfections in the surface, carved lines, certain protrusions. He watched as these things marched a slow and steady path across the cabin window. The light of Charon hit them sharply, making hard, long shadows contract nearly to nothing in some places, or stretch lazily away in others.
It's moving, Udo gasped.
We are moving as well.
No, I mean, it's turning. I knew it, Geffen. The world's turn. It was real.
Your visions, Geffen nodded.
He lounged comfortably against the couch back, disinterested in the overhead show. He seemed to be staring at some invisible speck on the carpet.
I fucking told you, Udo laughed. Didn't I tell you?
I believe you did.
God damn it, but it's big, he sighed.
He wiped the tears from his eyes, laughed again, then said,
Look at it go. Is it going faster?
No. The world turns at a constant rate. It is we who are moving slower.
Slower?
He was confused. He looked away from Talam, which was quite difficult to do.
How? We were spinning along with the world, Udo. We need to stop spinning to land. The cavern of the diaspora does not rotate, only the worlds within it.
Diaspora?
The realm of On, or Godon, if you prefer.
Udo looked up again. He wasn't sure, but it seemed as though the world hanging above his head was moving faster than before. He felt suddenly dizzy and sat down. When the couch was done molding to his body, he said,
How many worlds are there, Geffen? Do you know?
Several.
And how large is this place?
He struggled not to look up again.
Very large, Geffen smiled.
He fell silent. He didn't know what he should say or ask any more. Throughout his life, he'd heard the stories of their gods, that Erda was a great worm flying through some sort of unimaginable chaos. All within was order, while without was the very essence of the gods' creation, some sort of mystical, energetic soup into which they could scoop their hands and pull it away and fashion the living creatures of the world. There had been those who insisted, always quietly, of course, that there were other worlds beyond theirs, but... He felt his eyes drawing upward again and tucked his chin down stubbornly. He stared at the carpet, perhaps at the same spot Geffen had imagined a moment ago. The debate between the philosophers and theologians had always fallen to the same question. Many worlds or one? Was it only Erda and the people within it and their gods? Was there anything out there beyond chaos? Now it seemed that Udo had been gifted with a secret knowledge for which people would have killed, for which some had been put to death, he was certain. And he found that the answer only led to more questions. What was beyond the world? More worlds? And what beyond them? Yet another cavern. Caverns within caverns. Geffen had called it the realm of On, which Udo supposed must have meant all of existence, the diaspora. Udo wondered, what was beyond the diaspora?
I say this not to alarm you, but to warn you, Geffen said. Soon you will feel as though we are falling. It is not so. It is only that the principle that attracts physical bodies to other physical bodies, the force which keeps a man's feet on the ground, will soon be absent.
The magic of the gods, Udo nodded.
Such as it is. You would have experienced the same thing passing from Erda to Talam. Tell me, did you find that journey to be sickening? Vomitous?
In all truth, I think I was too terrified to notice. When it came on, it came slowly. I think I had time to get used to it. Then when Erda let go of me completely, I was too worried I might fall into Sunna's throne if I was careless.
Geffen nodded again, then examined his fingernails absently.
It will be much the same here. The coming on slowly, as you said. Indeed, it has begun even now. As soon as you could see the world turning above us, it had begun. You'll feel lighter, as you must have felt on that mountain. Then later your mind will scream that we are falling. We will not be. It is only that being without weight feels like falling. You will eventually become used to it, and then I imagine you won't notice it at all.
Udo looked up through the ceiling again. The shell of Talam was moving much faster now. At one edge of the cabin window, a structure came into view. It looked to Udo like a naked tree fashioned from metal. The shadows it cast upon the surface made him think of thorns, or blades. As it marched across their window, Udo counted off the seconds in his mind. He reached the number 5 when it passed beyond sight.
The faster the world turns, the more I'll feel it. Isn't that right? The sensation of falling?
Geffen nodded. Udo nodded as well, if only to himself. He said,
we were turning with it. Only now we're not. Or we're beginning to stop. We're just floating along right now, aren't we? What is it that propels us?
Now Geffen looked directly at Udo. He seemed far more interested than he'd been only a moment ago.
How do you mean?
When I made the passage to Talam, I could only move myself by pushing off the tunnel walls. At one point I tried scooping at the air with my arms as if I were swimming, but all that did was cause me to turn through the air. It never got me anywhere faster. And if I pushed too hard off of one surface, there was nothing I could do to slow myself down. So when I hit the other side, I really hit it. I received several bruises before I learned how to slow down and take things carefully.
Yes.
Well, we're not touching any walls, are we? How are we slowing down, Geffen? How is it that we're not flying off into that darkness?
He said this last part while pointing off in a random direction. Geffen looked for a moment at the glass in which Charon had appeared, thinking. Then he looked at Udo and said,
I really couldn't begin to explain it.
I suppose the best thing I can tell you is that it is, as you say, the magic of the gods. That, and if you don't wish to bounce off the walls of this raft, I advise you to stay seated. The couch encapsulates you for a very good reason.
Geffen smiled and looked down again at his nails. Udo observed him a while. When he could no longer contain himself, he asked,
Has she ever spoken to you?
Geffen met his gaze, but said nothing.
Ing,
Udo clarified. He held up his hand to show Geffen the diamond and said,
Remember? She gave me these. Did she give you yours?
Geffen still did not answer. Udo shrugged and looked through the roof again. There was not much else to keep his attention beyond the spinning world. It was moving fast enough now that Udo no longer felt the need to count seconds. Not that counting would have mattered. They drifted far enough away that he could no longer see the fine detail along the shell. His eyes detected motion along that gray, vast surface, glimmers and flickers of light winking out as suddenly as they appeared, but their distance obscured the structure's scale. He did note, though, that his insides were beginning to turn.
She told me to seek her in Talam, Udo murmured. She hadn't spoken to me in so long before then. In my dreams, mostly, so that I could not tell if I spoke to her or myself alone. And stupidly, I thought she would be waiting for me on the other side of the cave. She was not. When the wall opened, I was certain she would be standing there. Can you imagine? Such as her sitting around, waiting for such as me? When I saw only the sun of that world shining back at me, I had the insufferable nerve to be shocked.
Here he paused. He felt near the edge of self-control, and because Geffen was his friend from the old world, Udo was given the time he needed to regain himself. He was cold, suddenly, and wished for a fire. He crossed his arms and said,
Anyways, I descended the mountain and kept looking for her. For a while. Then after a while I learned not to look for her. I supposed maybe she didn't want to be found, or I don't know. I found myself a place to settle and just live for a bit.
He glanced at Geffen again. The other sat motionless. He stared at Udo with an unblinking intensity uncommon to his nature. Had it been any other man, Udo would have suspected a fight was in the making. They looked at each other like that for several moments, Udo soon feeling uneasy. Then Geffen cleared his throat carefully and said,
She never stopped waiting for you, Udo.
The digger felt that old, remembered pounding again, forced himself not to react. He waited for it to pass before he said,
You have spoken with her.
He nearly demanded to know if she'd mentioned him, but bit his mouth shut before the words could come. But Geffen did not answer. He seemed worried, or perhaps sad. Udo sighed and looked away. A moment later, he heard Geffen stir. He said,
She sent something for you.
Now Udo stared at him. Suddenly tense, he said,
What is it? Give it to me, please.
Geffen reached within his robes, seemed to fish around a bit, and when he withdrew his hand, Udo saw a black circle pinched between his thumb and forefinger, no bigger than a robin's egg. He held it out to Udo and said,
Here, take this in your palm.
Udo presented his hand and Geffen dropped it in. It was heavier than Udo expected. His hand actually shifted when he caught it. For a moment, he could only stare. It looked like a perfectly flat disc, and it slid along the surface of his palm when he moved his hand around to examine it. He realized it wasn't actually black. It only appeared black. In truth, it was a void, like a hole in reality. Carefully, he prodded at it with the fingers of his other hand, which only confused him more. Then he had the idea to close his eyes and look only with his fingers. Immediately he discovered that it was a sphere.
What is this?
Udo breathed. He opened his eyes and found Geffen smiling again.
Close your hand around it and squeeze.
He did. Immediately he felt it flatten and run through his fingers. Had someone asked him to describe the sensation, Udo would have lied and said it was like trying to hold water. But this was not so. It was thicker. To him, it felt as though hot blood slithered between his fingers. He knew that feeling very well and wanted not to. As he watched, the void enveloped his hand. When it came into contact with the diamond, there was a tingling that ran all the way up his arm, but that disappeared soon after. He suspected he'd imagined it. Then the darkness oozed up along his wrist and disappeared beneath his sleeve. He opened his hand and held it up to the light of the window. It was as though Mim himself had sliced a hand-shaped hole through Udo's reality. When the warmth crept beyond his elbow, Udo began to panic.
Geffen? Geffen, what the fuck is this? I don't like it.
Relax, Udo. It won't harm you.
It's not stopping. It isn't stopping.
It had slipped past his shoulder. Warmth spread across his chest and back like hot water seeping into his clothing, yet there was no sensation of wetness at all. He clawed open his shirt and saw only black emptiness where his body should have been. He just glimpsed it disappearing into his pants. Then he felt that sickening warmth spread to his neck. He clawed at the substance, tried to rip it from his body, but his coated fingertips only skittered over the surface. It was like grasping at smoke. He shrieked,
Geffen, it's not stopping! I'm going to suffocate!
Strong hands encircled his wrists and pinned his arms to the cushion which enfolded him. Now restrained, he tried to buck away from the couch, but only quivered and snarled.
Stop!
Geffen commanded. His voice filled the little cabin, feeling to Udo almost as if the walls swelled beneath the force of his cry. Udo blinked wildly, panting.
You're going to injure yourself, Geffen said.
He moved back to his seat. To Udo, it looked as though his friend was walking underwater. All the while, he felt the ooze enfolding his calves. It seeped beyond his ankles and covered his feet, but when he looked down, he saw only his shoes.
It is called Melam, Geffen continued. You'll need it to leave the raft. You'll need it to go anywhere, in fact. Make sure to remove those shoes. You'll go floating off somewhere if you try to walk with them on.
A godskin? Udo gasped.
Yes, you've seen them before. May I release your arms now? You won't try to claw your eyes out?
I'm better now.
It felt like a lie to say it. His heart was still hammering away somewhere in there. His arms were released. He watched them, temporarily lulled as the sleeves of his shirt floated gently into the air. He had to search to see the hands. They looked like dark holes in the cabin walls.
I can't see myself.
No, you should be getting feedback now. Touch your fingertips to your thumb. You'll see.
Udo did. He had to listen to the feeling in his hands to do it. Sight was of no help at all. And when the tip of his index finger tapped the thumb, he was spellbound by a vibrant green flash that originated at the site of contact and rippled along the digits, fading soon to light blue, then deep blue, then nothing at all. He clapped his hands together, and the color exploded up his wrists, as violent as waves crashing against a breakwater. He rubbed the palms of his hands together and discovered he could not actually feel the godskin. It felt to him only as if he rubbed palm against naked palm. The raft shuddered. Udo jerked, looked around himself and said,
What the fuck now?
We have landed.
Landed?
He looked at the ceiling, saw the dull gray gleam of the cylinder high overhead. At that distance, he could see it was surrounded by or encased in rock, as if the cavern of hell itself had grown around the world the way the godskin had grown around his body.
Is that Erda as well, up there?
Geffen gestured along the length of the world with his chin.
That way, on the other side of the rock.
You can't see it from here. Had you taken the raft from Erda, you would be able to see Erda. All worlds have such a raft.
Geffen stood carefully, first taking care that his feet were firmly planted into the carpet before doing so.
All worlds have many such rafts. Remember those shoes now. Don't try to walk out there with them on. You won't like what happens.